20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Wednesday, April 20th, 2022, 1 week away from Draftmas Eve. Welcome to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host for a second consecutive week. I was able to make it this time around, so I'm appreciative of that. I'm your host. I'm Jacob Westendorf. I am joined tonight by Owen Reese. I am not joined by Russell Brown. He is big-timing us. So, Owen, I just want your general commentary on that.
Well, the thing is, and you'll get to this point fairly soon, but Russ has a kid, so flex for him. I know Russ had sex at least one time like 12 years ago, but no, so he's got a lot going on. He's kind of moving up in the world and doing a lot of the stuff with the Detroit media as well. So busy day. I know his kid, I'm sure, is in the middle. I swear his kid plays baseball year round, so he's in the middle of that too. So he's got a lot going on.
Yeah, I sat with Russ last week after we got off the air, and I talked to him for probably 45 minutes about his kid playing. Just it's sports year round. He does play a little bit of football and a lot of baseball. Like you said, I think he plays almost year round for that stuff. He was telling me they start hitting in January, like January 2nd. They open their hitting cages and they start hitting from then, and they're done in August when football starts up. So that's wild. That's crazy, but good for Russ. Check out Cover One. That's where you can find his draft guide. A lot of good stuff in there. I got my free copy last week, so I was able to do that. And it's free for everybody, not just free for me. So go ahead and check that out. About 130 profiles, give or take a couple. I don't remember the exact numbers. I'm trying to remember what Russ said last week on the fly, and I can't count them all in front of you guys here. So a lot of good stuff in there, though. Get an opportunity there. And then the Green Bay draft guide, which you can find my pinned tweet over at GameOnWI on Twitter, 225 draft profiles. That one's going to cost you a little bit of money, though, but it is just a little bit less than what I call your standard cup of coffee at Starbucks, but I don't know how much coffee costs at Starbucks. But what I do know is our topic tonight, we have the interior offensive line for the Packers, and it's a position near and dear to the two of us. Owen much better than I was at playing these positions, but I also played them. Throughout my time, I was a left guard, and I played center, and I actually played right guard. Between all of my years in high school, I played the entire interior. My personal favorite position, the one I was the best at, was center. So we'll get a chance to talk some Josh Myers tonight and talk some Tyler Linderbaum and some other guys that Green Bay might be interested in for that. But, Owen, what I want to start with when it comes to this interior is just like we did last week, and we don't need to talk about Elton Jenkins. We did that last week. But the other guys, John Runyon Jr., Josh Myers, Royce Newman, kind of go down the line. But what's your assessment of this Packers group in the interior part of their offensive line as we get into the nitty-gritty of the draft and potentially adding to it?
Yeah, so I think that's the position where, and depending on who's looking and how closely they are, Green Bay does get actually quite a bit of credit for being like the team that drafts an obscure interior offensive lineman, and they will be good in 3 years team. But they have done a great job with that. John Runyon Jr. was, I believe, a fifth-round pick. Josh Myers, obviously, a second-rounder a couple years ago, but then Royce Newman, again, a mid-round. I believe he was a fourth-round pick last year. Jake Hansen is still kind of lingering on the roster. He was a sixth-round pick a couple years ago. So Green Bay has done a very good job. Lucas Patrick hung around for forever, was an undrafted free agent. They've done a very good job of optimizing these mid-round or late-round picks and be able to use them and make them very valuable. They've gotten comp picks from Scott Wells, from Corey Linsley, from J.C. Tretter, other offensive linemen that have left in free agency, and they've been able to replace generally with little to no dip. T.J. Lang, Josh Sutton, even if you really want to reach back, Marco Rivera, Mike Wall, right? They've had a lot of very good interior offensive linemen throughout the years, and they've rarely stuck around to pay them big money, right? Because they've found that their scouting methods have given them a lot of talented kids and a lot of younger guys. As we kind of see a tackle, right, with Yosh Nyman, right? Like they've done a good job developing young players, and they've been able to keep them around and get their use out of them. So I don't think, and give for the sake of this conversation, because we've just talked about three interior guys, we'll say that Elgton Jenkins ends up moving to right tackle when he's healthy. I think if your interior three are John Runyon Jr., Josh Myers, and Royce Newman, you could do a lot worse. I would say that Royce Newman is pretty easily the third in that group as far as where they're at as a player. He obviously has room to grow. In particular, identifying stunts and games in front of him was something he really struggled with last year. But overall, an ascending group, an ascending position at both guard spots, and obviously Myers will continue to prove as well at center. So to me, I think it's a position that, and you and I agree on this, right? Like, you need to take offensive linemen every single year. But it's one of those positions where it's certainly not a trouble spot on the Packers roster, which is not something that every team in the league can always say. So as far as peace of mind for us, that's a good spot to be in.
Yeah, it is. And I think that the Packers have a really good opportunity to potentially enhance this spot, right? They've got a couple things. John Runyon had a good second season. And you imagine he's only going to get better. He's got that pedigree. Obviously, his dad was a longtime NFL starter, played right tackle for the Eagles for a really long time, and he was a really good player. Runyon's got that potentially going for him, and he's good in his own right. He was, in my opinion, I was surprised that he wasn't the Packers' preferred starter at guard to start the season last year. I thought that he was their best performer at that position in training camp, but it didn't work out that way. They went with Lucas Patrick and Royce Newman to start the year. It took all of one game for John Runyon to supplant Lucas Patrick and jump into the lineup that way. Next to Josh Myers, and of course, Royce Newman played right guard for most of the season until the very end of the year. Josh Myers was a second-round pick last year, like you mentioned, in and out of the lineup, had a weird finger injury that kept him out of a game, and then he had a knee injury as well. So it is a small sample size. I think he played less than 10 games last year. I don't have it in front of me, but he played not very many games last year. But what was your general assessment of him as a potential building block? Because obviously – every fan ever does the whole thing where they draft this guy, but they could have also drafted this guy, and they could have drafted this guy, happened to be Creed Humphrey, who may have been one of the better players at his position in the entire sport last year. So that's where the Myers thing gets a little interesting, at least from the fact that they play the same position. But what was your assessment of Myers early in the year?
I thought he was fine. And he was – there were there were times where he could have improved or been better. However, he was a rookie at a position, which, for those unfamiliar, the center is generally the one making the calls along the offensive line. Depending on the offense, he's also responsible for identifying the mic or the point linebacker, which is kind of where you identify that spot will hinge and rotate the entire defensive scheme and pass pro and stuff around, right? So that's a pretty pivotal spot. No pun intended. As far as that goes, I thought he was fine. I thought there were some pretty encouraging signs at points, but also it probably not always a great omen if a position on the interior is dealing with durability issues early. I don't know if that'll be anything moving forward. I don't want to put that on a young kid because that's obviously not something that he can control. But as far as that goes, I thought he was fine. I think the Packers, given their depth along the interior, kind of probably got bailed out with that. That'll be something to see. I was not always the biggest advocate for Lucas Patrick. Not that he really did anything wrong. He was always one of those guys I felt that could be replaced or upgraded. But his ability to play center and guard was huge. And that's something where it would not surprise me to see the Packers bring in either draft a center or develop someone there, potentially as an undrafted free agent, as someone that could come in and bounce between guard and center. To my knowledge, Jake Hansen's probably a center only, which doesn't always have a ton of space or chance to make a 46-man roster on game day, just because you got to be able to play multiple. So he's also a guy that, in that respect, I think can be upgraded or can be improved upon. So I think that's probably a likely scenario. Keeping in mind, the Packers are generally Josh Myers is only the third interior offensive lineman that was taken by the Packers that had no college experience at tackle since like 2004. Corey Linsley, ironically enough, was one of the other two, another Ohio State center. But so keeping that in mind, right, the Packers generally take guys that have experience at tackle to be interior offensive linemen, and there are a few of those guys. Our buddy Justice Mosqueda writes over at Acme Packing Company and does some other stuff, has a list of all of the draft prospects that have passed through Packers' perceived positional thresholds, testing-wise. And there are a few guys that played tackle in college that could be potential Packers. So I think that's probably where you start at in that respect. I mean, obviously, like, and the more guys they take that were just traditional, conventional interior offensive linemen, you'll consider them as well. But a few guys really that kind of fit the Packers type, if you will, to look at for this interior offensive line group.
And it'll be interesting. I looked while you were talking there, and Josh Myers started 6 games last year. So that's not a lot. Like you mentioned, durability issues. That was a thing when he was at Ohio State too. So that's a concern, I guess, moving forward, but it is a tough spot. It's not even just that he started 6 games and was a rookie playing center, but he's also a rookie playing center in an offense that's run by Aaron Rodgers. And that's a guy who famously bleeds the play clock all the way down. And it's a hell of a lot harder as a rookie to learn that position where, you know, it's not as simple as walk the line of scrimmage. I know this is the play and this is what we're going to run, and I got to find all this. Now it's Rodgers making dummy calls and audibles and just all the other stuff that goes in with it. So kudos to Myers for being even close to developing and able to do that as well as he did a year ago. And like you mentioned, they've got a lot of guys that way. I do wonder, I know I've pointed out before, every year since Brian Gutekunst became the general manager, he has signed a free agent offensive lineman and he has drafted at least one. I do wonder, does that free agent this year, if he were to sign one and continue that trend, is that that center guard type thing like you were talking about earlier? Because right now, you know, Jake Hansen, like you said, probably a center only. He played a little bit of guard, but that was almost like a break glass in case of emergency type of situation this past year. Can't imagine that's something like that. You mentioned J.C. Tretter. He happens to be a free agent at this point in time. Maybe he's old and doesn't want to play anymore. That could certainly be something. I don't know, but I just know that that's something that could be worth monitoring as we get into that. Let's get into this draft class, and obviously it starts at the top and with the guys in the first round like, you know, Zion Johnson, Kenyon Green, and of course Tyler Linderbaum. And let's just kind of get your assessment on those guys. I don't imagine Green Bay is going to be in the market for one of those guys, but there is a scenario somewhere in my head that plays out where, like, hey, the best player available is Tyler Linderbaum at pick number 28. And that seems unlikely, but I don't think it's impossible necessarily. And then you do the thing where Linderbaum plays center and you have Josh Myers play guard. Is that something at all feasible? Would that even be wise in your estimation?
I mean, like, you could do worse than that. To me, Tyler Linderbaum's an extremely interesting case study because he, not completely unlike Garrett Bradbury a couple of years ago, is a hyper-athletic center that's going to be extremely enticing for zone teams and zone teams only. Linderbaum weighed in at his pro day at 302. And while, like, I'm certainly not here to tell you, like, that he's not strong or not capable or whatever, just simply put, I think he's 6'2 or 6'3. I've been wrong before, but he's not on the taller side, right? Like, Josh Myers is 6'5. Linderbaum's a shorter guy, and he's right around that 300-pound mark. Just isn't ideal for gap scheme stuff, right? Like, we're not trying to have him reach and you know, back block 350-pound nose tackles, right? We're trying to get him laterally moving along the line of scrimmage, reach blocking, doing this stuff, and not trying to manhandle guys that are bigger than him, right? So he is a perfect fit for the Packers offense, but like you mentioned, I think at that point you're displacing Josh Myers to a different position. I think that would be a big time luxury decision to make. That's definitely a want, not a need type of situation. I think it would be more likely if they were to go with an interior lineman that someone like Zion Johnson or Kenyon Green would be the pick. And that would be more to those two would be drafted primarily to play guard, but also could probably get you out of a game at tackle And also, as we've seen with Zion Johnson, played center at the Senior Bowl. I'm not sure if Kenyon Green had snaps at center or not. I believe he played left guard, left tackle, right guard, and right tackle at A&M, but I don't know if he played center. But as far as that goes, like, those guys have the versatility the Packers look for. But to me, I think, again, that would be pretty rich for Green Bay's blood as far as really probably ignoring more stark needs on the roster for the sake of really building up a position, which, like, and you and I have talked about this, I'm almost always an advocate for strengthening a strength, right, or making that stronger, because when you ignore strengths, they become weaknesses eventually. But and in that point, I think probably in that early day three, kind of where they've done it in the past, that seems to make more sense to me as far as where some of these guys could probably be had, some of these projections that could be, I don't know, they can fit the same bill that those guys take. Obviously, they're not as good, but I think probably the opportunity cost is probably more in Green Bay's range in that fourth or fifth round than taking those guys at the top. While I guess that from me, you're not going to get an argument on adding a first-round offensive lineman almost ever. But to me, the Tyler Linderbaum stuff is weird. He's very, very specific. And then, like I said, even Zion Johnson or Kenyon Green, I think, would probably be a bit rich for Green Bay at 22 or 28 even, especially 22.
Yeah, and that was kind of my next question on that. You mentioned the opportunity cost, and that's where, you know, I've talked about it before, is I kind of view the draft through the lens of, you know, A draft, B, or an A player, a B player, and a C player. And because of the needs that the Packers have on their roster, I have Zion Johnson and Linderbaum and those guys as B players, even though I think they're really good players. Like, would I be surprised at all if Zion Johnson is somebody Green Bay drafts at 28, he starts on day one and then just starts for them for a decade? No, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I think he's a really good player. And I even see a scenario, I don't think I would like this, but I could see a scenario where Green Bay thinks that Zion Johnson is like a player that can play tackle as well and play it, like, not just to get you out of a game, like you mentioned previously. And that's something that's different, is sometimes you have guys that you plug in at tackle, and like I said, you're just trying to get out of there. Like, you're just praying and hoping, and everything's being held together at that point by shoestrings and bubble gum, but you're just trying to get out of it. So when you talk about that opportunity cost and everything that goes with it, if they are to pick, say, one of these three guys that we're talking about at 22 or 28, now you're talking about, like you said, ignoring a position that has greater needs like receiver, offensive tackle, edge, stuff like that. And a position, frankly, where there's probably players in that range. Like, you're thinking at that point, like, do I take Tyler Linderbaum at 28 or do I take Arnold Ebiketie, the pass rusher from Penn State? And I apologize if I just butchered the pronunciation of his name. Or do I take that shot on David Ojabo, who I know is injured, but maybe he wouldn't be here otherwise? I think he would otherwise, but that's beside the point. You know, or do you take that borderline wide receiver, offensive tackle, defensive lineman even? You know, there's just a lot of things to weigh there, as opposed to, I think they really like Josh Myers and they think he can be really, really good. Like maybe not an elite player, I think that word's thrown around a little too much, but a really good starter at that position. And that's why they took him where they did. So I think that, kind of like you said, just to wrap this whole thing up, is they could do something like that, but I almost think that the board would have to be just completely FUBAR. And at which point, you're probably better off just moving back, acquiring more picks, and kind of working from there, as opposed to jumping on one of those guys. Of those three, just to kind of close this up, I guess, real quick, of those three guys that we just mentioned, though, if you're Green Bay and say the board does break that way and those three guys are the best players available, just so to speak, which one do you think is the best fit for Green Bay?
I think probably Zion Johnson would be the best fit for Green Bay. His positional versatility to play really any of the three spots. Like I said, ideally he's not a tackle for you, but to show the ability to do so, as a junior in Boston College in 2020, played left tackle, showed that it was not his best spot. But I mean, like I said, his ability to get you out of a game there could probably do it. Probably it'd be a coin flip between he and Kenyon Green for me. I'm a big fan of Kenyon Green, but I think Zion's probably more of a, could probably live in a zone world a bit more. I think Kenyon's probably more of a gap guy, but I mean, if you've got it made up that you're going to draft a guard at one of those spots, I think if either of those two, you're hitting a home run. But again, that's the epitome of, a luxury pick or and ultimately, as far as you and I are concerned, and probably most of the people listening to this podcast, it would just make for an awful time on Twitter because all people are going to do is talk about them having a receiver, and I don't really want to read it. So, I'm for. I mean, right? Like, I'm a big time advocate for plus size athletes. Don't get me wrong, but just take appease the masses and take a receiver, so I don't need to read about it for another 6 months.
So
you finally beat me down. I'm defeated. I can't defeated. Do it anymore. If I have okay. one more offseason of. Oh, if they could have just got the pack, they could have got Aaron Rodgers some help. They could have got whatever. The backup quarterback jokes, I'm sick of it. I'm done.
Owen's beaten, and he's battered, and you know it's bad. Next, he's going to start saying that they need to draft more defensive linemen or something like that. I don't even know. Well,
they need more people on the roster that are 300-plus pounds, but that's another thing. Yeah.
They do. That's fair. So I'm not even going to ask you if they should pick two receivers just so everybody shuts the hell up. But I do appreciate the thought process of if this doesn't happen, my time on Twitter gets worse. And I know
if I'm having a bad time. You guys are really going to have a bad time. So let's.
Yes. And I know that I have the option of turning my phone off or putting it away or something like that. But come on, you guys know it's not that simple because that's the addiction of Twitter, right? We want to see those things even if we don't. So let's get into day two, day three, guys, because like I mentioned last week, I'm of the belief that the earliest the Packers will be drafting an offensive lineman is day two. And I actually tend to believe that they're going to be doing multiple guys on day three, like you've mentioned. They've done that a lot. They've actually drafted three on day three the last two years. And they've had varying success on that. Day three rookies, Royce Newman started for them last year, and so did John Runyon. So did they pan out? I guess that's not a fair question just yet. I think John Runyon has at least shown to be an average starter, if not slightly above. And Royce Newman, they really like him. So maybe he's somebody that becomes an above average starter for them. I don't know. That's kind of the fun of this whole thing. But who are some guys that you have seen or kind of have thought about, talked about, et cetera, that the Packers could potentially target? Let's start on day two and we'll move to day three.
So a couple guys to me that really stand out. First is Cam Jurgens, the center from Nebraska, who probably, if you look at most people's draft boards, may not be a day two guy, but I think will be pushed up there due to his absolutely insane athletic testing. He's a guy that blew up almost every lift or shuttle or anything he did in the pre-draft process. If you think if you really like Tyler Linderbaum, right? Like Cam Jurgens is a dollar store Tyler Linderbaum that is 10 pounds lighter, right? Or he's probably 295. Extremely athletic, right? In those zone schemes, the wide zone scheme, that's exactly what you're looking for. I think you probably look for him to add a little weight once he gets to the NFL. But as far as a movement perspective, Cam Jurgens carbon copy, perfect fit. Like that's your pick at 92. I know every mock draft in the last 10 weeks has had Jelani Woods go number 92 to the Packers. But that's a Cam Jurgens in that third round. He's a guy, or even it wouldn't shock me if someone went late two for him. Just like I said, that athletic profile was nuts. The other guy that really kind of shows out here to me is Zach Tom from Wake Forest. He played center as a sophomore. Well, firstly, he's the younger brother of Cameron Tom, who for the hardcore football fans was like a backup practice squad center for the Saints and the Dolphins for a couple years, about 5 years ago. He played center as a sophomore at Wake Forest. In 2020 as a junior, he bumped out to left tackle, and he played there this year as well, simply because he was their best offensive lineman, and they got a good center in from Damascus, was Brian Brzee's high school teammate. So they moved Zach Tom to left tackle. He's a very good athlete for an interior offensive lineman. I think that's where he's going to move back to in the NFL. I don't think he's got the length or the he's not that good of an athlete to be 296 pounds at tackle in the NFL, right? He's about six. I think I believe at the Shrine game, he was 6'5", 296 or 297. And even that's still light. Granted, that's still light as an interior offensive lineman, but I don't foresee him having a future at tackle in the NFL outside of getting you out of a game at tackle, which I've mentioned multiple times, I'm sure, in the last couple weeks, is a very valuable thing. But Zach Tom has big-time movement skills and is a, to me, screams a developmental early day three, late day two center that could also play guard in a Green Bay's wide zone scheme. He's a guy, use that athleticism. He's a good pass protector. I think you'll appreciate this. I watched him. So he was like one of my first trial guys to watch for Optimum when I started the process for the Shrine Bowl. And I watched him play for about 2 minutes. And I had to look up, like, this kid had to play center before, right? Like, because he just undersets everything at tackle, because I think he's aware of his not athletic limitations, but like moving from guard to tackle is a huge space difference. And so he still plays like an interior offensive lineman, even at tackle. And that's why I think that that transition back inside will be easy. So Cam Jurgens and Zach Tom are, to me, those that third round, maybe even early day three, but in that area, that seems like the sweet spot for those guys. Tom probably with a bit more positional versatility than Jurgens, but two guys that scream Green Bay to me in that area.
Yeah, Zach Tom is one of the guys Jacob Morley turned me on to, of that ability to kind of play around the offensive line. And it seems like a guy, like you said, they pick him in the fourth round, assuming they still have their fourth round picks. They pick him in the fourth round and he becomes a Lucas Patrick type player for them, or even a solid starter for them. You know, he's in a few years from now, I'm not comparing the players, but he's TJ Lang, where he's a backup for a while, becomes a solid starter before he gets a nice contract from either them or another team or something like that. One name that's been brought up a lot because they have his position coach now in Green Bay is Sean Ryan out of UCLA. And that's somebody that, you know, there's an obvious connection, obviously, when you bring a guy like that in. What are your thoughts on him as a interior guy that Green Bay could potentially add and reunite with his former coach?
Sure. He's a guy that I've seen a lot of fanfare for. Full transparency, I have not watched him outside of clips on Twitter. But I know he played left tackle at UCLA. He fits their type. As you mentioned, that familiarity can be king as far as personnel moves at times with coaches. Would not surprise me at all. I think he's kind of projected in that third or second round range, I believe. But he's a guy that, yeah, absolutely, that tackle experience bodes well for a transition in Green Bay with him. Like I said, just given their track record, and again, as we've seen, where, you know, when coaches go somewhere, or as you see right now in Carolina, when Matt Rhule has like 9 Temple players on the roster, right? That familiarity can be paramount at times. So unfortunately, this is poor radio. I do not have a strong opinion on Sean Ryan, just because I haven't seen him. But everything, you know, obviously the amount of fanfare he's getting and everything in his past leads to Green Bay being interested in him in that third round range.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And like I said, I think he has the ability. And I do wonder if Green Bay will do something like this. And they haven't done a ton of it, you know, where you cross-train some of those guys that don't have experience playing center on the offensive line. I don't know if that's something, you know, like John Runyon, for example, didn't play center, but I know they did some stuff with him in training camp to kind of give him some snaps there. And I do wonder if that's like their Lucas Patrick backup center type now, or if that'll be, I mean, I guess there's questions to be answered between now and then, but Ryan is somebody else that I think that they could move along the offensive line, give some more experience at center and give him some snaps there potentially and try and cross train that way. It's not easy. I know everybody says, how freaking hard can it be? You just have to snap the ball up to your butt. But I promise you it's not that simple. And snapping shotgun, you're essentially doing it blind. Like, you're throwing a pass blindly and between your legs and kind of unnaturally. It's just not as simple as that. And the timing of the entire play. I tell you what, if you guys think this is simple, go back and watch. I've watched, and this is a really, really elementary example, quite literally, but I watched a 7th grade team try and run the spread as 7th graders, and their center could not snap the ball to the quarterback. Well, when you're trying to run jet sweeps and pop passes and all that stuff, like they're trying to run and the center can't get the ball back there when it's supposed to be, the entire play is based off of timing. So the incorrect ability or the inability to get the ball back to the quarterback, obviously, is going to be a problem. But snapping the ball is not as simple as just lift the ball up as quickly as possible. There's some skill, and you got to be basically be able to, sometimes you're moving like your snapping hand and you're off foot at the same time or close to the same time and trying to get off that way. So it's a fun one, and Green Bay is going to do a lot of things to try and solidify that group on their offensive line. Let's go to the end here. Some potential undrafted gems. Last year, Green Bay had, like I said, three guys later in the draft. Undrafted free agents obviously have done really nice in Green Bay over the last decade. There's even this is widely accepted that agents of undrafted free agents kind of tell them, like, hey, if it's between Green Bay and, say, another team, you know, Green Bay is the place you want to be because they roster undrafted free agents. So you have a fighting chance to not just be on the practice squad, but be on the 53-man roster. So who are some guys a little bit later in this class that you think could be a, you know, a sixth, seventh round pick or even a preferred undrafted free agent for Green Bay?
Yeah, a couple guys. One, Cordell Volson from North Dakota State is a guy who has played guard and tackle at NDSU. He's a guard, or he could even be a center potentially. He's a guy that is going to grit his way through the NFL. I use that. It's very cliche, very white athlete-ish.
Lunch pail guy, does all the
things. He's a guy that and Cordell Volson, right? So he was at the Shrine Game, right? So I got to meet him there and talk with him there quite a bit. He's a good kid. A kid that I coached with at Whitewater, who's now the assistant quarterbacks coach for the Arizona Cardinals, was at NDSU at the time. So I had some familiarity there. Cordell Volson in Las Vegas, Nevada, told me, and I quote, this is one of the coolest things I've ever heard, is he was playing Madden against one of our other scouting assistants. And then like at an event where they had a bunch of like Shriners kids there and whatever. And it was he said, yeah, he's like, I run an RPO offense, run power often. And I put a kiss on the lips right then and there. So Volson's a guy. He's a guy that I think that every single team is going to love as a prospect. I don't know where he falls. If it would fit in Green Bay, I think the culture would be a huge hit. He's versatile, has tackle experience, is not the freakiest athlete, but would be just fine. Dawson Deaton is another guy who played tackle and center at Texas Tech. He's like 6'5". He's a big dude. He was at the Shrine Game. He's another guy that I think he played like over 3,000 snaps at Texas Tech, right? Like a ton of snaps. As a decent athlete, he's a guy I think they could really look at. And then another one, actually I'm going to do two more because I'm going to cheat. Luke Wattenberg was a center from Washington who was at the Shrine Bowl, and he weighed in at 291 pounds, but he's a very good mover at center, was on the zone team on that 12 personnel team in Las Vegas, was a guy that impressed me quite a bit. And then finally, another Shrine Game guy, because I'm unbiased, Xavier Newman-Johnson from Baylor was a guard. I think he plays center in the NFL because he's like 6'1", but he was like 6'1", 6'5". 305 pounds, very athletic, very good mover, played guard and center at Baylor. I think he's a center in the NFL, but those are my guys. Like those would be like my ideal picks for those late round undrafted free agents. Just those type of guys that are going to fit in somewhere. Volson will get drafted. Deaton could get drafted. The other two may or may not. But those are the four for me. So Cordell Volson, a name to keep track of from North Dakota State, Dawson Deaton from Texas Tech, Luke Wattenberg from Washington, and Xavier Newman-Johnson from Baylor. Those are my guys. I think that those would be my priorities mid to late day three undrafted free agency. They make a ton of sense to me, and you're just adding more more talented guys to that room. And, I mentioned this right at the beginning, right? Like our peace of mind with the interior offensive line is something that I don't take lightly. And I know that the Packers, I'm sure, do not either. Just given like any fan that's watched the USFL the last week and a half or whenever they've heard this, right? Like there are not enough good offensive linemen in the world right now to currently supply professional football outside of the NFL. So the more talented offensive linemen you have on your roster, the better shape you're going to be in. And Green Bay is very rarely in a situation where they don't, but they need to continue to do so in order to ensure that pipeline. So those would be my picks for the late in the draft, day three types. But those are some, I think, that fit Green Bay's archetypes, that fit what they want to do, and would be good fits in their scheme. That, again, they've kind of shown to kind of corner the market on, or found a bit of a market inefficiency in the NFL. I think that's a huge opportunity for them to continue to build on that.
Yeah, and you've seen, to that point that you made earlier about just having that that pipeline and a bunch of different guys and stuff like that on the offensive line, you've seen it. Like last year, Ben Braden played snaps last year. Cole Van Lannen played snaps last year, and not in games that they were like getting blown out. And Jake Hansen played snaps that year. You're talking like 8th, 9th, 10th offensive linemen. I mean, we almost – one of the issues with – the analysis that we often see and read is almost like, okay, the starting five is good and they have like one good backup, and it doesn't have to be the starting five. It's like edge rusher is another example. It's like, well, they have Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. It's like, cool. They're a rolled ankle away from giving snaps to
Chauncey Rivers
or Chauncey Rivers or whomever. Like, it's not a good situation to be in. The offensive line is very much that way as well. And they're a rolled ankle or getting rolled up on. I mean, you guys see it all the time. Every year, offensive lineman gets rolled up on, and unfortunately, because of the position they play, that happens a lot, and now they're done for the rest of the year. Elgton Jenkins, that wasn't even that. Elgton Jenkins was kind of just a freak thing. David Bakhtiari, an even freakier kind of situation for
Green Bay. People forget in the 2016 NFC Championship game, the Packers finished the game with LaTroy Guy on at guard because they ran out of offensive linemen.
Yeah, and it was a game, like, the game was out of hand by that point. But, yeah, you're right. They ran out of – they didn't have any left. So they're playing a defensive tackle who doesn't play offensive line at offensive line. It's a tough spot. That's why when – like, next year when the roster hits and Green Bay keeps one less defensive back and 10 offensive linemen, and you say, like, what in the world do they need 10 linemen for? That's why. That's why. And there's other reasons, not just that one. So that's what we're going to have. That's what we're going to do. Next week we will have a 7-round – mock draft that you guys are going to want to tune into, and I look forward to it. Although now Owen is saying just pick a receiver so he doesn't have to worry about it on Twitter. I got to see if he returns to form next week and tells me not to pick receivers as we get into this spot through our 7-round mock. Hopefully we have Russ back for that, but we'll be able to do that. You can follow me on Twitter in the meantime at Jacob Westdorf. You can follow Owen. He's at Reese_draft. Owen, has she texted you back yet? That's my only question.
No, I think her charger is broken. But we're going to wake up tomorrow. We're going to try to push this boulder. So we're going to be all right. Beatings. That's what I like. I'm a beaten man right now. Like, beatings will continue until morale improves. So
I say that to my kids all the time. Like, that's probably not a good thing, but, well,
better get
Owen's morale. Wife. That's right. Owen's wife. If you're listening to the show, please text him back. He's just worried. That's all we want. He's just worried.
And I'm a good man. I love my wife.
And her boyfriend?
I'm sure he loves her too.
There you have it, guys. We'll end on that. Catch those. We'll see us next week. Again, 7-round mock draft and everything else going on between now and then. A lot of fun. Deebo Samuel trade rumors, AJ Brown. God knows what else is going on. So send your ridiculously stupid trade packages out. And get those going, because your fake trades, every fake trade, including mine, they all suck. That's my advice for you guys. Until next week. Thanks for listening. See you then.